الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون. وقال الله تبارك وتعالى: والذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون. Those who are unmindful of their namaz. But before we come to that we should be very, very careful, cautious, conscious where we go to, what we listen to, etc. For example, there are many comedian shows which take place also at various places, various other types of entertainment also, whether it is permissible to even entertain the idea to go to such entertainment shows, we should think. And the big fitna is that many of these comedians are Muslims. Their names are Muslims. And then in the show, as it happens many times from experience of the past also, mockery is made of Islam, of various injunctions of deen, etc. And the istihza of deen, to make a joke out of deen, is kufr. It leads a person out of the fold of Islam. And it also istighfaf with deen, to take any matter of deen as a small, unimportant, like unnecessary matter. That is also kufr. It leads a person to kufr. So a person should be very, very wary when he about such shows, whether they come to in your area or wherever else it may be, and whoever it may be. And just to make it comes in the Hadith Sharif also, and the more or less the subject matter of the Hadith Sharif, that to make others laugh, you say things just to make others laugh, and for their joke and for their laughing, and you yourself lose your iman, and you made them also lose your iman. Also today in our times, with the cell phone and the various social platforms that there are, many messages go around. If there is any message about belittling deen, making a joke about deen or something, and we just even smile at it, in other words, like approval, just like laughing at it, it's also, our iman is at stake. And worse still, if we share it and pass it on to others. So we ourselves and whoever our associates are, family people, friends, and people who we know in our neighborhood, we should also discourage them and warn them also of this very big fitna, of so many fitnas that there are today, where we are bombarded with fitnas from all sides today. And many, many of those fitnas are hitting directly onto our iman. And we are just because for dunya's sake, to laugh, to be happy, to live it up in the dunya, we don't worry about our deen. So may Allah tabaruk wa ta'ala make us all conscious of our deen. And the most important is, which nobody can deny, no matter which philosopher it might be, which professor it might be, but death has to come to everyone. And when maut comes, everything of this dunya is left behind. And at that time, and wise are those people who before that time realize that this world is very, very temporary. Very temporary. As though now it seems the world is everything, enjoyment of the world, pleasure of the world, etc. It seems like it is everything. So it is very temporary also, and in quality it is very inferior also. The enjoyment of this dunya, when we will see the akhirat and the enjoyments of akhirat, we will realize that this dunya's life, this dunya's enjoyments were very, very inferior also, and extremely, extremely temporary. And the life in the qabr will be for so long, إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ, till the day of Qiyamah. How long? There are people who are already 5,000, more, how many years, 10,000 years, they are in their cover. And according to our amal of the dunya, that is what is happening in the cover now. So we should think, we are also each one of us, no matter who, kullu nafsin za'iqatul maut. Each and every soul, it can be whichever professor, he can be the biggest atheist, the biggest professor, the biggest scientist to ever, but mort is to come to everyone. And they, whether it's a Muslim, non-Muslim, rich, poor, black, white, educated, uneducated, mort comes to everyone. And then after that is the day of Qiyamah. The day of Qiyamah alone, كَانَ مِقَدَارُهُ خَمْسِينَ أَلْفَ سَنَةً 50,000 years long will be the day of Qiyamah. Then will be full Sirat, and then will be either Jannat or Jahannam. So we have to be very careful. Our Iman is our greatest commodity that we have got. The greatest gift, the greatest treasure we have is the treasure of Iman. May Allah give me first and all of us the understanding and the tawfiq to try and treasure and appreciate this Iman of ours. Then, as times are going on, the trials for the Muslims, for the true believers, will become more intensified, will become more difficult to see who is going to be practicing on Islam genuinely and who are just here for the sake, for lip service, etc. May Allah protect us all. So our Iman will be tested. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, the Jews and Christians, Bani Israel, were divided in 73 groups. My ummah will be divided into 73 groups. Only one will be Naji. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum asked, who is that Naji who will gain salvation? Ma ana alayhi wa ashabi. Those who will follow the way of Allah, of the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and the way of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala. So that is our path. Opposite to that path is the path in our times, one big fitna of all this modernism, all this modern ideas, etc. And all that in temporary in the world, it appeals to a person. And it appears very good. But really, for the akhirat, we have to think. A mu'min is really that person who worries more about his akhirat than about his dunya. And we all should think for ourselves also, what is our condition? Not just think about other people, but my own condition. What is my condition? Am I worried of my dunya or am I worried of my akhirat? Do I make dua for my akhirat, etc.? So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, inshallah. Further, we discuss more or less to the time where we, our standing position, raising our hands and then folding our hands in namaz. After folding our hands in namaz, then the next is that we go into ruku. And in going into ruku, there are also many errors that we make. When a person with his hands folded and he's going to ruku, then his hand should go directly onto his knees. Normally, our hands go on the side first, and then we bring them onto the knees. And on the side also, many of us, we shake our hands. There's very many of us, very many, even imams also, when we get up from ruku, we use our one hand or two hands to pull our kurta right at the back. There, according to some muftis, using both hands breaks namaz. It comes under amal-e kathir, that we have done a lot of an unnecessary amal, which is not the requirement of namaz. So by that, our namaz breaks, so we should be very careful. And in that also, it is what a person thinks is that his kurta got stuck at the back. So he wants to pull it out. So he uses his hands to pull his kurta straight. But that is really illogical also. Because at that time, when you are standing, it's just for a little while. And when you're going to go into sajda, then automatically, if the kurta did go in at the back, then it will come out also. So just for that little while. And if the kurta does get stuck at the back when we get up from sajda and we're going to be standing for a long time. But at that time nobody fixes his kurta up. He fixes it only up when he gets up from ruku. And leaving the hands on the side, shaking them front or back or sideways or anything, that is also incorrect. We should take our hands and take them directly onto our knees. And all this applies to those people who are healthy, who are young. When a person grows old, then for example, he can't make his, don't follow the outward postures of a namaz to a person who is old and who is now like dependent to support himself on his hands to get up from sajda, etc. We should see the person, that alim, who is still young and healthy and who is following the sunnah, try and learn namaz from such a person. As it comes in the hadith, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. So what does kurta? Just a little anecdote in a village where a person got up when his kurta was stuck at the back. So one person, it doesn't look nice when the kurta is stuck at the back. So one person went and pulled it out. So another person told him that in namaz it's not permissible to do that. And then the third person told, lucky I didn't do that. And so all of this, the namaz, there's so much of jahalat in the ummah, we cannot imagine it. So we should learn our deen and learn it correctly. So that is very important. After that, when we are in ruku, try our best according to, again, our health conditions. A person who is old, etc., perhaps he can't get his back and head all in one line. We should try and get it straight. And of course, you can't see yourself. And even if you want to look in a mirror when you are in ruku, are you in a straight line or not? So ask somebody to check for you. Some of us, when we go in ruku, we bend our arms. So then your head goes more lower. Or the head, it sticks up. The head or should be also at the same level. So that is also very, very important. All at one level we should be. It shouldn't be that our head is gone bent down a bit or it's a bit too high. And with itminan, in all our postures of namaz, we shouldn't be rushing through them. Like it comes in the Hadith Sharif, the subject matter more or less is like a fowl that is picking seeds up, down, up, down. Our ruku, our sijda. Some we are hardly gone in ruku properly and we are up already. And sajda also, we just come halfway up and we are gone down again. Now, what itminan we should do. And the requirement there is that every bone of the body, every joint of the body should come on its place. So when we go in ruku, then be there for ruku so much that the joints of the body come on their place. Not before we went, before it went into ruku, already we are going out of ruku. Let it go properly. And then from ruku, we should stand up properly. We should read our tasbihat properly also. If we can read more, but at least reasonably, we should read. Sometimes with the students who make imamat also, we have to ask them which surah did you read in namaz. Namaz, they read so fast that you hardly finish surah Fatiha and they have finished with their surah also already. And many times in ruku, in sajda also, very fast. So namaz should be done. It doesn't mean you take a long, long time. And that very important for an imam also is that he shouldn't put his musallis into difficulty. He should consider his musallis. And he shouldn't read so long that he causes them to some discomfort. And neither should it be so short that we find also, yeah, that sometimes the Shafi's, They have to read Surah Fatiha in while they are standing. And the Imam, before they can read the Surah Fatiha finish, he's gone in ruku already. And they are still reading Surah Fatiha and he's up from ruku. And they only go and make ruku after he is up from ruku already. So we shouldn't be so fast also. Anyway, then after from ruku we stand up, then stand up also properly. Then stand for at least so long, which is a very little while, that all the joints of the body come back on their place. Then when we go down to sajda, then that is also very important that we do it the correct way. We go down, take support on our knees to go down. If it's an old man, a person who can't help, he takes support on the ground. But that's not the correct sunnat way. The correct sunnat way is to take support on our knees. And then we go down into sajda, and in sajda put the hands down first. And then the nose, and then the forehead. So you can see that tartib is exactly as our body is. The hands are the lowest, so they will go down first. And after that is the nose and then the forehead. So in that tartib, we should go down into sajda. And then in that tartib also, we then follow that tartib and then read Subhana Rabbi al-A'la at least three times also. And not too fast also, and not too slow also. And after sajda, when we get up to sit again, we shouldn't come up halfway and then we've gone down in sajda already. Come up fully, sit, and when we're sitting, let all the joints of the body return to their places before we go down for the next sajda. So we should sit properly also. And after that, make the next sajda. From there, we have to get up again. When we're getting up, don't get up with supporting your hands on the ground, etc. And every movement from the our takbir-e-intiqaliya, that is Allahu Akbar. And this is also particularly important for imams also, that it should start from the time when we change our position. Like in the standing position, if you're going to ruku, you are in standing position, you go in ruku. From here you start with your Allahu Akbar, and Allahu Akbar should finish at the when we reach our ruku. It shouldn't be we go halfway into ruku and then we start. And some people, especially after sajda, when they get up first and then they say Allahu Akbar. And we should be very careful. Recently, one of the imams, one of the muazzins who gave the adhan for Jummah namaz, he said, Allahu Akbar. There was a little bit like Allahu Akbar. We should be very careful that Allahu Akbar, the pronunciation must also be correct. In the adhan also. So we should be very particular about that. So the takbir-e-intiqaliya should start from the time you change your position until when you reach your position. Like the people in the first saf or the people just behind the imam, they can notice the imam is going in ruku, in sajda, etc. But the people in the back serfs can't. On one occasion, in one masjid in Johannesburg, a person, he has passed away now, Allah give Jannat, he was in the habit of always saying Allahu Akbar loudly. It was the month of Ramadan, and he came and he joined the Jamaat in the second or third rakat. And the Imam was in a standing position, and he in the fifth, sixth ruku, seventh, eighth saf, and he should say loudly Allahu Akbar. So he said Allahu Akbar. So the people in front at the back, they thought the Imam is gone in ruku. So they all went in ruku. And afterwards the Imam went in ruku. And they all remind him, when you get up from ruku, you must say, Sami' Allahu liman hamida, not Allahu Akbar. So the whole namaz of everyone went haywire. So we should be very careful of these aspects. When we say our takbir ula, the first takbir, when we say it is necessary to say it so loud that you yourself can hear. Your lips and your tongue must move. In this also we see many people who say the takbir, but they say it in their mind. The mouth doesn't move, they just fasten their hands. In that case, namaz hasn't started. The first takbir, it is faraz to say the takbir with your lips moving and your tongue moving. The other takbirs, if you don't say them, your namaz will be made, but we should say them. It is the correct method of namaz that we should say our takbirs, but not so loud that we disturb other people in that. And then when going into sajda, then also in that tartib that I had mentioned, first we will let the hands be on the ground, and that is an important point also, don't let the hands drag on the ground. That also many of us, we go into sajda and our hands are on the ground. And it's a healthy person, he can make his namaz correctly. And instead of placing the hands at the place of sajda, he drags his hands on the ground and he goes. That is not correct also. That the hands should go from the knees directly to the place where sajda is going to be made. And then in sajda, very, very important also is that our thumbs, our hands will be like this. This is another very important aspect also in sajda. Many, many of us, our hands are left open, fingers are spread out. They must be close together. And so much so that this in the imam, this closing of the fingers, when it's translated into Urdu, though that word is not in the Arabic language, but khub milaye, join your fingers properly. Many of us, there are gaps between the fingers. So that should not be the case. And the hand must face qibla direction. The hand should not be this way also. And it should be so much that with the thumb also like that, but the nails of the thumb should be in line with your ear, the lobes of your ears. Many of us, the hands are far in front. In that case, automatically, this elbow is rests on the ground. And that has been referred to as the sajda, or like a dog, how a dog sits, that kind of a sajda. So let it not be too much at the back also, and not too much in front. And a person won't know for himself whether the nails of his thumb are in line with his ear lobes or not. Easy way is, for most of us, our nose is in direct line with the lobes of the ears. So you know where your nose is in sajda. So in line with that, keep your thumbs of the hands, not too much in front and not too much at the back. Keep them properly in line. So that is also one very important aspect that we should consider in our namaz. And as we had mentioned, just to revise again, when the postures of namaz will come right, then concentration in namaz will come. Proportionate to the postures of being correct, so much concentration a person will have. And today we are generally not concerned about the postures in namaz. There are many aspects of our deen that we are not concerned about. One important thing is, all these are the outer things, but the inside, the heart, very of us pay attention to that. And that is the most important, the heart. And at the time of maut, وَحُسِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ, that will be taken what is in the heart. And that is what is going to have effect. So that also. But namaz is also very important, and to correct our namaz and perform our namazes correctly. Many of us, we perform them randomly, and those of us who are performing regular, but many of us, we don't perform it with all the proper etiquettes. And then when we get up and we sit in jalsa, between the two sajdas, that also don't just sit, get up and go down. But so much at least that your joints come back on their position. Then you go down for your second sajda as you did your first sajda. Then you complete your namaz. Towards the end of namaz, when we sit again in jalsa, then in that read our attahiyat. And in all these postures, as how much we will have our outward postures correct, so much our concentration. Then attahiyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibat. That are great, great praises for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. But we seldom think about them. We just read our attahiyat in any haphazard way. And then Allah ta'ala declares, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Oh my Nabi, Allah's salam, Allah's rahmat, Allah's barakat upon you. The whole attahiyat is such a magnificent aspect, but we don't pay any attention. And with the restraint of time, we just complete. After that, we read Durood Sharif, and then we make the dua of istighfar. Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira. That you just made namaz. Namaz is no guna. But you are saying that I made a big guna. Zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira. That is, we could not perform it properly. No matter how perfectly we perform namaz, namaz cannot be. Allah is unlimited. The requirements are unlimited. But we hardly try to perform our namazes correctly. At least we should have that concern of Ibrahim ibn Adham, rahmatullah alayhi, after namaz, he should cover his face and make dua to Allah. Oh Allah, let this namaz not be thrown back on my face. How I spoiled the namaz, it's thrown back on my face. We don't have that concern at all. A person who has the concern, that person corrects his namaz. That person has this worry, and hopefully that person's namaz will be accepted who has this worry. But when a person got no worry whether my namaz was accepted or not, and each one of us can think that at the end of our namaz, do we think whether my namaz is accepted or not? And Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira. I did a lot of wrong. Think also, my namaz also, my whole life also. I've done so many gunas. And then, when making salam, salam should be where we are facing Qibla properly, and we make Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And a healthy person should turn his head completely. So much so it comes in the kitabs that the person, if he had the back, can see the whiteness of his cheek, can see his cheek that he makes salam. Many of us, just a little bit, we turn the head. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. That is like of a proud person. That we, and very, very important, we should make niyat of the kiram and katibin who are with us. And if it is jamaat namaz we are making, to make niyat when on the right, all the people on the right. And the imam, if we are behind the imam directly, both sides of the imam's niyat. Otherwise, whichever side we are, according to the imam's niyat. We all can think for ourselves whether we ever make the niyat of the, when we say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, or we just make salam. To who we made salam? Like to nobody whatsoever. Right? And we just made salam. And when we're making salam also, our posture straight up the back must remain like that. We shouldn't go a bit front and look this side and make salam. Some people, they do that. Like for example, if you are driving a car, and when you turn this way, some drivers, they themselves also turn. By your turning, the car is not going to turn. You must sit in your seat correctly. Turn the steering wheel, not you turn. May Allah give us tawfiq. Correct our namazes, have that fikr for our namaz, and make all our namazes correctly. And may Allah save our iman and all these shows that they are, entertainment shows. Be very careful and not lose our iman by attending these type of shows, etc.